Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Esprit.net News.
I want to get the language right tonight.
This is America. My president is
don't ever let anybody tell you that your efforts don't matter.
This is not a war zone. These are unarmed people.
Politicians and commentators.
Don't let anybody take your man.
Does that remind you that I've done this before?
It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people.
You have tuned into Independent Thought Radio, where we cover world and national news with current affairs. Some good, some bad, but it's all the news you need to know. I'm your host, Jerome Esprit, bringing you straight talk outside the headlines. So sit back and relax, call in, or hit us up in chat. Now, as long as you're ready, we're ready. Welcome again. Welcome to Esprit.net News. A little technical difficulties, but I'm here. Welcome to Esprit.net News. This is where you get a week's worth of information in just one setting. I'm your host, Jerome. As always, we're here every Thursday at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So if you listen in the archives, you can catch us live on Thursdays. Now, on this program, the NFL may be forced to conduct future Hall of Fame induction ceremonies without former enshrinees or former players. Space Jam, the sequel, is officially greenlit by Warner Brothers with LeBron James. That was the Space Jam that was originally with Michael Jordan. He's the newness. And here's a surprise for you. West Virginia is the least diverse state in the U.S. I know that's shocking. And Nike shares have reached record highs 1 week after that debut of an ad campaign featuring Colin Kaepernick. And Terry Crews accepts the apology letter from the ex-agent who he accused of groping him. And also, the WNBA champions Seattle Storm will refuse an invitation to go to the White House. We have that this week in court and much more. I want to welcome you again onto the show. I know I kind of blew through that one because I'm sure there's no surprise that I think anybody should refuse to go to the White House. I don't think they can get workers at the White House, but that is a whole nother story. Now, in the words of my girl, Lucy Abreu, this is your first time checking out the show and you want to check out some past shows, I'm sure there's always news you can use on our previous shows, so you can check us out in the archives at espritradio.soulofsyracuse.com. That's espritradio.soulofsyracuse.com. Now, our first story, 55 years ago, on September 15th, four little girls died in a church bombing. So every time I hear people say never forget something one way or another, that was the church bombing that kind of set civil rights on a certain path. But the four little girls that was bombed, that was 55 years ago on September 15th. Never forget that. Now, there's a record-breaking indoor ski resort set to open in China that features an Olympic standard slope plus a few hotels. It's called the Winsta Star Shanghai, and will include hotels, restaurants, 25 snow play attractions for non-skiers, and 3 indoor ski slopes. Now, I've seen pictures, and it is going to be huge, but you get to ski indoors. And I thought a part of your ski experience was being outdoors, but apparently not. They're downhill ski courses. So, hey, it is set to be built. We're set to open in China. So, for you skiers, go to China. Now, the airline that makes the most money from the little add-ons like extra baggage, more leg room, and all of that stuff has been revealed. And it's American carriers that top the rankings, with Ryanair profiting the most from those charges. among European airlines. So in 2017, United Airlines made the most in their ancillary revenues to the tune of $5.75 billion. That's right. They made $5.75 billion just from the add-ons. Now, we don't have an energy crisis anymore, and they're still billing you for extra luggage and stuff, but it's because they found so much money in that. It was followed by Delta Airlines, who made $5.4 billion. American Airlines made $5.3 billion, and Southwest made $3.1 billion. Now, Ryanair is in fifth with $2.3 billion. Sorry to hear that. And add-ons such as check baggage and seat selection and all that stuff. This is according to a new study that was revealed. So, again, no energy crisis, but they're not giving you your money back. McDonald's announced last week that it was debuting a new version of its beloved apple pies. Now, they said they're now made with sliced apples instead of diced apples, and they have more cinnamon. But online has kind of been heating up that people are a little mad at McDonald's for changing their recipe, and I don't eat those things anymore, but I used to really like apple pie from McDonald's, so who knows what that's going to do, but they're changing their recipe. And again, I'm sure they're going to change it back, but instead of using diced apples, they're using sliced apples. I don't know why that's a big deal. Now, there's a historic 50% drop in new heroin users in the U.S. I don't know how they get these numbers from whatever the study is, but they said that half as many started using last year, but more use meth, marijuana, and coke. That's according to this new report. The number of new heroin users fell significantly from 2016 to 2017. The study is the National Survey on Drugs and Health, but experts caution that we're still in the thick of an addiction crisis. Now, again, I'm like you, probably thinking the same thing. How do you know that there's a 50% drop in new heroin users? Surveying people, asking them, are you new to taking heroin? That's my guess, and that's not me being sarcastic. Now, a Tennessee nurse, Patricia Tills, who's 61, has been suspended for writing herself 104 prescriptions. That's 10,000 opioids over 3 years. She used a pre-signed prescription pad to give herself oxycodone, codeine, and Soma. I think that's what it's called. I don't know my names of prescription drugs these days. But anyway, I thought I would add that onto our national drug survey list. Again, you're listening to Esprit Net News. I just want to remind you, you can call in 909-265-9189 if you're listening you're online and listening in the chat room through online. You can always dial in and listen to us. For everyone on the line, I want to say hey to everyone's out there, and you can hit 1 on your line if you want to come in, any questions or comments, and I will see if I can bring you in, because I know I normally miss when people are hitting 1 on the line. So, Kamish, whenever you're ready to come in, you can always come in and hit 1 on the line, and Kai, if you're there, and Adria, Brother Sean, all of y'all guys, anybody out there who wants to come in, just hit 1, and we can holla. All right. Now, there's no evidence of having high levels of bad cholesterol causes heart disease. This is what 17 cardiologists is claiming as they call on doctors to abandon statins. So these high level of LDL-C, known as bad cholesterol, has been considered a major cause of heart disease and the world's leading killer for at least 50 years, but they're saying that there's no evidence of this. I don't know what to think of it. I'm just reading news. Now, nearly 4 million USC teens vape cannabis. That's according to the Center for Disease Control, CDC, has revealed this in a new report. In its first report, on how teenagers e-cigarettes and cannabis, I guess how the CDC's latest data suggests that any of those devices may be making it easier for kids to consume cannabis at the risk of developing at risk of injuring their developing brains is what they're saying. So I guess kids, the teenagers, and e-cigarettes and cannabis is what the CDC is warning you about. Teens and vaping, nearly 4 million U.S. teens. Now, 7 U.S. states have obesity rates of at least 35%. A new map has been developed or drawn. They said that more than one-third of adults in Alabama, Arkansas, Iowa, Louisiana, Mississippi, Oklahoma, and West Virginia are dangerously overweight. Now, that's according to the data that was released on Wednesday by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. They said that it is a slight increase from 2016 when obesity prevalence was 35% or higher in 5 states. So Colorado fared relatively well with the obesity rate just 22.6, while West Virginia had the worst at 38.1. Okay. Now, also in West Virginia news, in surprising news, we still have West Virginia on deck. West Virginia has the least amount of diversity in the United States. That's according to a new nationwide analysis of racial, cultural, and economic inequities in America. So known as the Mountain State, West Virginia had the worst scores in the nation for social, economic, and cultural diversity, and very low scores on religion and political diversity. So the numbers say that by 2044, the U.S. will no longer have one ethnic majority, currently white people. I didn't say that. That's what was in the news story. And will only continue to grow in diversity. That's according to the CDC. Oh, no, actually, that's according to the U.S. Census Bureau. They said the most diverse state. Okay, we'll do this in the top 10. Number 10. The most diverse state is Illinois, 9, Nevada, then there's Florida, Maryland, New Mexico, New York, New Jersey, Hawaii, Texas, and California. So Texas is 2, and New York is 5. But California is the most diverse state in the country. Now, okay, we're going to go do the top 5. Starting from 5 of the least diverse states. No. Okay, yeah, we'll do the least. This is number 5, Kentucky, Montana, New Hampshire, Vermont, Maine, and West Virginia. Now, again, you would think they would be southern states, but New Hampshire, Vermont, and Maine, that should tell you something. They're the least diverse states in the country. All right, now, Dane County Supervisor Sheila Stubbs, 46, she revealed on Wednesday that she was campaigning last month with her 71-year-old mother and 8-year-old daughter when a neighbor called 911. So the male neighbor suspected that the silver sedan being driven by Stubbs' mother, again, she's 71, was waiting in the area to pick up narcotics from a local drug house, according to police records. Now, if you don't know, Dane County Supervisor Sheila Stubbs was running for office. So after winning the Democratic primary a week after the incident, Stubbs faces no opponent in the general election and is set to become the first black person to represent Dane County in the Wisconsin Assembly. But someone called on her because her 71-year-old mother was out when she was campaigning and she was driving the car. I just thought I'd add another another story to the mix of, you know, driving, walking, eating, sleeping, selling lemonade, having apple, watching TV while black. Just kind of one of those days. All right, now Coca-Cola is said to be close to a deal that could see it infuse a can of its regular Coke products, get that, Coke, with cannabis. So the U.S. Giant, you know, manufacturer said that it was in serious talks, discussions with a cannabis producer as it looked to grab a slice of that marijuana market, is what they said. The deal with a firm called Aurora Cannabis could lead Coca-Cola to selling drinks infused with marijuana, which is said to have healthy effects such as easing inflammation, pain, and cramping. So if California, if Coca-Cola seals a contract with Aurora, it would be the first major soft drink firm to make a move in the marijuana market. And Canada, by the way, if you don't know, is set to legalize recreation use of cannabis next month for more, and more states across the U.S. Are making it legal. But Canada, they're going to legalize it all across the country. So Aurora, who is the company that's making the cannabis, and they're using, they're not mixing actual cannabis. They're taking some kind of chemical out of the cannabis, and they're infusing it into Coke. So they're saying the psychedelic effect parts of marijuana you won't feel because they're not going to include that. However this is going to go. But this is what the story read. So, hey, look out for Coca-Cola. And if you don't know, Coca-Cola is named Coca-Cola because it used to have cocaine, and they took that out a long time ago. But they kept the name. So, it's time for a new soft drink company, apparently. All right, Ryan Coogler, who is the director extraordinaire. So, of course, he did the Rocky sequel called, I can't think of what it's called. I just lost me that fast. Creed, and he's doing Creed 2, and he did Black Panther. So Ryan Coogler, who is really Black Panther fame now, which made over, you know, or it made hundreds of millions of dollars. I think it almost close to $1 billion. That's what it made. But he just signed on to produce the long-awaited sequel, Space Jam 2. That's according to The Hollywood Reporter. So the Black Panther director will produce Space Jam. And also, LeBron James will star in Space Jam 2. So Ryan Coogler, that might have been a part of their deal, because LeBron is locked in to play that character and play there, and now they're bringing in Ryan Coogler. So maybe LeBron brought him in. But there you had it. I've never seen Space Jam. If you saw Space Jam and have some feeling about that, well, have fun. LeBron is now going to do Space Jam. So on that note, let me go to the line. Let's bring in the commish. Hey, Kathleen, how are you? If I can actually, you know, do my job and get you on here. How are you doing? I was going a little slow.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. A little tired, but I'm doing good. I may need a can of Coke, though, or something.
You know, it has a really nice green can with a leaf on it, but don't worry about that from the red can. You won't get them mixed up.
That's what I wanted to ask you. It won't be a universal Coke. There'll be a line of Coke products called Coke Weed.
Or Weed Coke. Well, you can't do that because then you might think it's a whole other product. Yeah, it's they're actually going to put it out like regular cans of soda. Like you know how they had the big promotion for Cherry Coke? Well, this one's going to be bigger. I'm just joking. and you get that. I didn't notice the play on words that they were going to roll it out. I need to put that on the board. Thank you very much. Tip your waitress. Yes, I didn't see that coming. It just gave me.
That was good. That
and
was good.
Yeah. So
and
we'll keep.
And it comes with a pack of brownies.
You're gonna need that. This Coke doesn't own Frito-Lay. I'm trying to think. That was Pepsi owned them at some point. But if they're gonna get into the fused in, you know, marijuana drink infusion with Coca-Cola, they might want to buy somebody like Doritos. Like they might, because mm-hmm. they're spikes. Because mm-hmm. you can run promotions, and you can say, you know, buy a can of Coke, get a big bag of Doritos. You know what I mean? I'm just saying.
Exactly.
We should get paid for marketing for them.
Yep.
we're going to put together a nice little marketing firm for them. We got mm-hmm. all kind of ideas. You know, you can change that and use, you know, the little cheese twist. You can do all kind of stuff. You know, just
all kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You don't have to go old school and just have regular potato chips. You could use Ruffles. Like, you could do a little extra. It is marijuana, so.
But somehow I'm thinking more like cornbread. You know?
Oh, yeah, because you're going to need something a little more meaty. So, technically, you're going to need we should do that. Like, you know how you just have a regular coffee cake? You should use, like, the ginger cakes or something. Like, you're going to need something a little bit more.
Yes.
A little bit more solid.
That's what icing
help you.
On it, you know?
What icing? Mm-hmm. Okay, let me say this. I don't smoke, never have, so I don't know what you actually have a taste for. So I go say, I'm going to defer that to our marketing team. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We're going to have to defer, because you see we're struggling over what to eat. But I'm sure somebody could tell us.
I'm just a little hungry, though, so I'm just calling out the stuff I would feel like eating right now.
Exactly.
Go get some cornbread and macaroni and cheese.
So let me put a shout out. Dial in 909-265-9189 and tell us what your preferred snack is. And any of my relatives that may be listening to the show, I don't want to know what yours are. Hopefully nobody has it. Like, I don't want to know you when you call in. So I just want to say that. If you call in and I can call your mama, you're going to have a problem. Come and say, you know, what I really like is a nice cheesecake. Like, if you're going to do that, I'm going to tell your mama. All right. So former ESPN anchor Jemele Hill is going to narrate the LeBron James documentary Shut Up and Dribble. So they actually have a release date that they're going to actually do that. So Jemele Hill, if you don't know, you know, was released and they paid her $1.3 million or something from ESPN.
That's all?
You thought it was what?
I thought it was $2 million.
Oh, you know, I'm not sure. I'll have to go back and look. But I know it was over $1 million. But
okay.
They released her, and so I'm glad that she's getting a little bit more, getting some outside work outside of ESPN, because we need to hear her voice.
Yeah.
So she's doing some, yeah, she's doing a little bit of work. So shout out to Jemele Hill for that. Because, you know, they were probably pretty much not ignore her. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
she's not going to go work for Fox or somebody. They probably would just kind of, I didn't want to use the word black something, but
yeah,
they probably will ban her. Yeah.
And that was the, you know, when Chris Broussard left ESPN, he left there and went to Fox News, and there's nothing, Fox Sports rather. And there was never a real clear reason why they let him go from ESPN. I just remember a little bit of a controversy that popped up around him talking about something to do with gays and lesbians or something, because, you know, referencing maybe his faith or something, he said something that pissed people off. I do recall that. But they were very quiet about it. Like, they didn't make a move right away. But after that happened, you didn't hear much from him anymore. He used to be on all the sports shows all the time. And all of a sudden, there's nothing but Stephen A. Smith and a bunch of other guys. And you just didn't, he was just kind of sidelined, if you will, with no, you know, no real conversation about it. He was just sidelined. And the next thing I know, he had moved to, he was doing a podcast on Fox Sports, not even on camera. So, you know, now he's got a podcast.
Push him up to the back burner.
Yeah, man.
And actually, I actually liked Broussard. I mean, better than I like Stephen A. But, you know, when he's doing analysis and stuff, Broussard was fine. So I don't know where he rubbed somebody the wrong way and then they actually pushed him to the side. But they really have pushed him to the side. And hopefully he's doing local. Because, you know, just like Stephen A., you know, Stephen was a reporter out of Philadelphia. So when he leaves, he can always go back to print and doing, you know, the Philadelphia, the Inquirer or whatever Philadelphia paper that he used to work for. But that's bad to see that. I hate to see that, but you know what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, yeah. So the Dallas Cowboys are the most valuable NFL franchise, according to Forbes. They put out their annual list, and they said that Dallas Cowboys is worth $5 billion.
Wow.
You know, and the New England Patriots was second, and they were at $3.8 billion. But they said Dallas Cowboys is at $5 billion. Now, this leads me to our next story. The NFL may be forced to conduct future Hall of Fame inductee ceremonies without their enshrinees unless an agreement can be worked out regarding their health insurance and pension for the league. So in total, 21 Hall of Famers and the widow of Philadelphia Eagles and Green Bay Packer defensive end Reggie White signed a letter addressed to the NFL this week to Commissioner Roger Goodell, NFL Players Association Executive Director DeMaurice Smith and Hall of Fame President C. David Baker, in which they demanded health insurance, an annual salary, and that included a share of league revenue for all members. Now, these are the Hall of Famers. They said that in their letter, they said that we, the undersigned Pro Football Hall of Famers, were integral to the creation of modern NFL, which in 2017 generated $14 billion in revenue. It said the letter was obtained by ESPN, so they actually put it out. But they said when the league enshrined us as the greatest ever to play the America's most popular sport, they gave us a jacket, a bust, and a ring, and that was it. So those who signed the letter include Eric Dickerson, formerly of the Los Angeles Rams and Indiana Colts, Marcus Allen, OJ's friend, I'm just joking, Marcus Allen, Mel Blunt, Derek Brooks, Jim Brown, Earl Campbell, Richard Dent, Carl Eller, Marshall Faulk, Ricky Jackson, Mike Haynes, Ronnie Lott, Joe Namath, John Randall, Jerry Rice, Deion Sanders, Bruce Smith, Jackie Smith, Lawrence Taylor, and Curtis Martin, and Kurt Warner, as well as Reggie White's widow, Sarah White. Now, again, Dallas Cowboys worth $5 billion. And they actually did the numbers on this, and they said you would only pay about $1 million or I think they said something like less than 3% per ticket for paying for the retirees. That's how little it would cost them to actually cover them for health insurance and start to pay them salary. Because
less than 3%
you know how
per ticket?
Yes.
I don't understand that. Can you explain it?
Well, they're just saying that if you are selling tickets at a stadium, and they actually broke down in the numbers, and they say, hey, if the ticket costs you $50 and you take 3% of that and apply it towards their health benefits, that would be enough. They only need $4 million a year, and they make, again, the league's revenue was $14 billion in revenue.
Oh, my goodness.
Right. And they also mentioned in their letter that not only do they have the big television deal, which they named on how many billions they're getting in television, they just approved gambling. So now they're going to be getting gambling revenue inside. So the club owners, you know, they can license their stuff out for sports betting. And so they're going to get a whole influx of new cash for sports betting for all the NFL teams, but they can't still play the players.
Man.
I know, that is a rip. But shout out to them for actually for going in at it and signing their names to it. You know, because, you know, we're talking about people having brain injury and, you know, all this other stuff,
yeah.
But apparently nobody's really fighting to make sure that they get their share. So the sports owners are really acting like, you know, slave owners, like we don't have to pay them for their labor. It's just a privilege to play the game, and they're making billions of dollars, and these folks are left with, you know, medical bills like crazy from bashing their heads on Sunday.
So right now they don't have health benefits or anything. That when you're done, it's just like any other job you just done. No retirement package and all of that stuff.
No, but you do have to be in the league. Well, you have to be in the league a certain long amount of time to get a pension. And I'm not going to say any names, but I actually know someone who was in the league and it's 4 years. And at the fourth year, they cut him because no team wanted to pick up his pension. So he played in the Canadian Football League for maybe 8 seasons and won Grey Cups and all that. But they literally stopped him. He used to play for the Philadelphia Eagles. And they stopped him before he was able to get pension at the NFL.
Are you kidding?
Because whatever team – yeah, whatever. So that's why the average amount of time that people play in the NFL is like 3 years. They don't want it because it does not actually go by years. It goes by the amount of time that you played and years. So they might even just stop playing you and be like, nah, we're not going to give you more field time because that's calculating your wear and tear. And it actually goes towards pension that you played in X amount of games kind of thing. Yeah, it is horrible. I just want to say that for the record.
They don't have a union then, obviously.
They don't have a good union, obviously. They have a union. And I know I keep hearing this comparison. They are nothing like the NBA. The NBA union, they don't play. And it's just because the difference in the NBA and NFL is the NFL is using, they have helmets, and you can't really tell who's who. The NBA is all about marketing the individuals because you can see their face. So once the big names go out of NBA, then technically nobody's going to watch. NFL, they can put in what they called back in the days the scab players. And people will watch a good game because you don't really pay attention to the personalities outside of their helmets. But the NBA, you can't do that. So they had to cut the players in. Because when NBA players walk, your jersey sales are going with them. Like their fans are following that person.
Right.
Like, so, for example, much respect to LeBron James, but I didn't like him. I didn't like Cleveland. When he went to Miami, I was like, okay, I actually like LeBron James. He went back to Cleveland, I stopped watching. And you know what I mean? Like, it was kind of one of those things. People follow NBA players more than they follow an NFL player. It's a whole different problem.
That's true. I don't even know how often NFL players move around.
Yeah, they get traded. They treat them like dirt. They get traded, and you know there's some good players out right now that are free agents, and just nobody want to pick them up. Like Colin Kaepernick. It's the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
Dez Bryant, who's a wide receiver, played for Dallas. When they let him go, he's probably at least one of the top 10 receivers in the game. Each team has two receivers that play. So in Colin Kaepernick, you can just say how many teams, how many quarterbacks. You can double that for wide receivers, and knowing how good he is, and they still won't pick him up. Whatever is going on with that, you can get, you know, banned out of a game, an unspoken ban out of that game.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, I have a story that I thought you might find a little interesting. You know, the New York Times, like this week, you know, they had the Emmys, right? And so there's a – huh?
No, I said uh-huh.
Okay, so there's a picture of Angela Bassett and
oh, yeah.
And what is her name? Tiffany Haddish. And they're giving the Wakanda greeting,
uh-huh.
You know.
Uh-huh.
And the New York Times printed and on their coverage, caption under that picture, it was Tiffany Haddish and Omarosa Manigault. They called
yes.
Angela Bassett Omarosa.
I know.
Now, again, all black people don't look alike, but really white folks. Like, this is so old that you know you don't have black people who work for you when you start calling other black people just, they don't look alike. But you're like, oh, that must be Omarosa.
My God.
Because they spell Omarosa's name right. So if that's the only black person that they knew, but they just need to use it. But it's the New York Times out of all people. I wouldn't even did the story, but it was the New York Times. So it was kind of like, don't y'all have editors and people who
I
check
know,
this stuff?
Right?
And,
I know. Nope, nothing.
And apparently they didn't watch the Emmys because then they wouldn't be able like to say, oh, when they announced them, we knew who it was. But no, somebody and the staff looked at it and was like, oh, that looked like Angela Bassett.
My goodness.
I know. Now, Jordan Peele, Get Out. Wait, I forgot to ask you this. Did you ever watch Get Out yet?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's right. I forgot we talked about it. So Jordan Peele's Get Out is coming back to movie theaters with a live orchestra. They said they want to heighten the film experience and the scary mood. So they're saying Get Out will come to Brooklyn, Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, and some other places, but it is they're bringing a full orchestra. Michael Abel is scoring the performance of an orchestra under the leadership of the National Symphony Orchestra, Darian Atwater. Now, Atwater has been a vocal opponent for the arts and among his accolades as a composer, conductor, pianist, vocalist, and entrepreneur. Atwell founded the Soulful Symphony. So the symphony is, according to Atwater's bio at the Kennedy Center's website, is an 85-member orchestra with vocals made up of mostly African-American and Latino musicians. So that should be interesting. At all of those Get Out premieres, it's going to be a black symphony orchestra playing for the movie live. So they're going to score it live while you watch the movie.
Wow.
That should be pretty interesting, right? Yeah.
Yes, I'm going to see that for sure.
Yep. So the first screening will take place at the Kennedy Center in D.C. on September 20th, which is today. Brooklyn will take place at King's Theater on the 28th, and Los Angeles will hold a screening at the State Theater on November 8th. But that should be interesting. I wish they would, like, well, I don't know if you can. You would almost have to documentary film it because you can't film a film. But I would like to see how the orchestra played. I hope somebody put that out on YouTube. That should be pretty cool to see an orchestra score a film live.
I got to see that. I got to go see that.
Yeah. Now the Root.com is reporting in a funny way, a news story about a Delta employee. This is what they're saying. A brave Delta employee is being hailed for alerting authorities to a case of felony cultural appropriation when a black woman disrespected the heritage of a white woman everywhere by asking them to speak to a manager. So here's the case. A black woman is at Delta Airlines. The employee was, you know, being kind of funny at the counter when you check in, and they asked to see a manager, and she called the police. So the Root kind of reported, like, this brave Delta employee alerted authorities because the black woman disrespected her whiteness by asking to speak to a manager. It's like, that's offensive to you. Just because you asked to speak to a manager, now you all offended? White folks got problems. Yeah, that's crazy. So anyway, I just had to say it that way because the Root, when they... Huh?
Did they fire her? Did they fire
the
Delta?
No. Nope. But just like the story earlier, people still call the police on black people for little stuff. They're like, hey, you didn't drink the rest of your soda. Let's call the police. Like, whatever reason that white folks can find, they call the police. Because they think the police is their personal security. So it
That's
seems
it.
Kind of strange. Yeah. That's pretty much it. Now, the Obama Presidential Center, now this is according to a news report, will pay just $10 for a 99-year lease as the Chicago City Council is set to approve plans that have angered community advocates. So Mayor Rahm Emanuel's administration is asking the City Council to approve ordinances that would pave the way for the construction of the Obama Presidential Center in the historic Jackson Park. But they're going to end up paying $10 for 99 years.
Okay.
I would say something negative about this story, but the problem is that I remember that Chicago was bidding against Hawaii for that presidential library. So whatever concessions that they made just to have it in Chicago is kind of what they made.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because that would be like, that is egregious. But then if that area was not heavily used and you're bringing, you know, Oprah moved her studio from that part of town in Chicago because Oprah Studios is there. So when they closed all that stuff down, you left a big void. So you want to bring a tourist attraction back. So they're giving a break on it. You know, it's a not-for-profit anyway, so they wouldn't be paying no taxes.
$10
for a 99-year lease.
Okay.
So, yeah. You know what? They should do an installment payments, like, you know, 35 cents every 2 years. Like, they could just... I'm just saying. I mean, if they want to be creative, you might as well.
That is true.
Somebody missed their 49-cent payment, 44-cent, because he was 44th president, right? So they should have did it in 44s. I'm just saying, wasn't that right? So they're like, how much are we on our payments? It's just like, okay, so you paid the first payment, so you're 44, then it was 88. Let me go. So you owe us, like, you're only up, you're not at your $10 yet, but you're at 50. Or $5.84. It's like, you want to pay that all now, or we could just give you a receipt. Oh, and the sad thing is, you know, the service charge is going to be like $5 if you
choose
an
installment. I was going to say, and the late fee is $3,000.49.
Yeah, they were like, we're going
to
foreclose.
Because to the credit bureau.
And then, yeah, right. The Obama Library, the credit, TRW or somebody, they are going to really be on them. They're like, your credit score is going to be affected. All right. WNBA champions Seattle Storm will refuse an invitation to go to the White House to commemorate their win. So veteran point guard Sue Bird has confirmed that the team had no interest in going after the team beat Washington Mystics last week in their showdown. They won 98-82. But it's kind of funny to me that they're going to say, well, he was going to invite them anyway. Nobody with any sense is going there. Don't nobody want to see you.
Nope.
That's why Trump is wigging out now, because he figured, don't nobody want to see him. How come nobody likes me? But, you know, that's what narcissists do. They get mad that they're not the center of attention. So they do bad things just to get attention, just like most people would do good things to get attention. They're just going to do anything. Oh, by the way, I didn't even check my phone. I might have to look at this. You know, Trump sent out that text. They said that it was scheduled to send a text nearly to every cell phone in the country as a part of FEMA's new presidential alert system. So more than 100 phone providers participated in a test at 2:18 Thursday, today, September 20th, and no one could opt out of receiving their text from their phone carrier. So if you are on a major carrier, they said that you should have received your text at 2:18. I'm going to have to go look at my phone now, because I don't remember getting a text from FEMA. They were testing the system. Did you get one, by the way?
I think I did, you know. Let's see.
You think
what
you
was it supposed to say? I think I did. What was it supposed to say?
No, who knows? Who knows? I don't know what it says. It's Trump, so it will be really bad grammar, and the spelling's going to probably be a little off. So when you look at it, you'll be like, oh, this was Trump. This is from...
Yeah, no,
this
I
is
didn't
just
get it
our
either.
Test. Oh,
I
good.
Didn't get it.
Good. Yeah, you know, I think enough people complained too. So who knows if it actually went through? But it was scheduled for 2:18 Eastern for today. All right. Now, a retired admiral who oversaw the raid that killed Osama bin Laden leaves the Pentagon's board after claiming that Donald Trump's treatment of CIA Director John Brennan humiliated the United States. So William McRaven, the admiral who, like I said, oversaw the bin Laden capture, he resigned from the Defense Department's advisory days after a letter criticizing Trump appeared in the Washington Post. So, you know, this is tricky. So people are saying that maybe you should retire and protest. I don't think protests work with him. I think he's just going to put more crazy people in. So stay and do what y'all need to do, but I'll understand either way. But when people kept saying they should resign and protest en masse and then he'll get the message, he's not getting the message.
Uh-uh.
So, oh, did you hear that, what's her name, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, I didn't know her grandfather died in the aftermath of Hurricane Maria. But she blasts Trump for mishandling the Puerto Rico disaster. She said that he isn't the president of all people in the United States. So the progressive Democratic candidate, congressional candidate, Alexandria, Ocasio-Cortez?
Uh-huh. Yeah,
something like that. Yeah. What were you going to say? Sorry.
I said, here we go.
Oh, yeah. Go vote, people. That's all I have to say about that.
Here we go.
All right. Now, Tom Arnold was pictured outside the LAPD station after filing a police report against Mark Burnett. You know, he was the producer of The Apprentice and... I think he created them, actually, Mark Burnett. And what's the other one when you're voted off the island?
Survivor.
What is that show? Yeah, Survival. So Mark Burnett did a bunch of shows. They said that Mark, he filed a police report against Mark Burnett over an Emmy party brawl that he said that he tried to secure Trump's racist tapes. And Arnold was... at the Los Angeles Police Department station in West Hollywood on Monday after filing a report against Burnett saying that the producer tried to kill him. Because Tom Arnold is saying that he has a copy of Trump saying the N-word. And Mark Burnett actually owns those tapes because it happened during their Apprentice, and Tom Arnold said he's releasing them. So we know who's fighting on Trump's behalf now, because Mark Burnett never turned them over, even after the Access Hollywood stuff happened, because Mark Burnett had them.
Wow.
And they knew that on the Apprentice, on the outtakes and stuff, Trump was using some crazy language. So Mark Burnett is trying to hide it, but Tom Arnold somehow got a hold of it. And they said that he has a tape of him, of Donald Trump using the N-word, and he's going to release them. And he said Mark Burnett tried to run him over.
What?
All right. Yeah, that's why he said that he tried to kill him. And so he went to the LAPD, he went to the police department on Monday, and filed a report against Mark Burnett.
Wow.
They go crazy. Yeah. Now, a former Republican state senator from Oklahoma received 15 years in jail for paying a boy, 17, to sleep with him at a motel. So Ralph Shortley, he apologized for leading a double life of sin.
Oh,
isn't that the Republicans' mantra? Leading a double life of sin. Welcome, mm-hmm. your congressional Republican. A double life of sin. That's our new Lifetime movie. Double life of sin.
Wow.
I don't know why that is such a funny tag for me. But he apologized for leading a double life of sin. Now, a fake cop who formed an extremely dangerous group that held teens at gunpoint and used handcuffs to detain other folks gets 5 years probation. Now, here's what he did. He actually got maybe four other people together. They started pulling over people who were teens and handcuffing them and just pulling them over, harassing them. And they all claimed to be police officers. And then when the police caught them, officer, and he held those teens at gunpoint and used handcuffs to detain them. After they found him and said, oh, he wasn't a police officer, he still got 5 years probation. There's something to be said, but I'm not going to say it.
I was playing black on white.
I was going to say, I should have fired up black or white for that one. Because the time that he would get, as people have gotten 20 years for stealing pizza. He impersonated a police officer. And you know how people go through that whole thing of, you know, they give their lives and we need to respect officers. And that's just a travesty that somebody could ever get past public trust to impersonate. They ain't say none of that. None of that was going down. The judge was like, he ain't mean it. He was just playing. He pointed a gun at somebody. Do you think there was some gun charges in there someplace?
Nothing.
Oh, speaking of gun charges, you know, Gene Gotti, who served 29 years of a 50-year-long sentence at a federal correctional institute in Louisiana for running a multi-million-dollar heroin distribution ring, was released last week. Now, this is John Gotti's brother. He's now 71. He was, he had court appearances in the 80s, and, you know, just he's the infamous brother of Don Gotti. So he was born in the South Bronx in 1940, went to become a ruthless crime boss of the Gambino crime family. And now that he's back on the streets, the police department is warning everybody that there may be a power struggle, because they arrested another guy from going to jail and still paying him whatever they said the dowry is for somebody who's higher up in the mob. He still was getting his payments and money while he was in jail. So they arrested a guy for bringing him money in jail. But now that he's out, they're saying that New York City may have a little bit of problems because the Gotti's back. And so the new crime boss, who is, you know, and it's interesting how the police department has this information. They were like, this guy is running the Gambinos right now, but he is in succession to lead the Gambinos, so they need to keep an eye on him. What'd you say?
How about in jail?
Right. They let him out from his 50-year sentence after 29 years, and now they're like, now that he's back on the streets, things are going to get rough. Then why did they let him out?
And that's the whole purpose to keep people locked up.
Yeah. He probably said he was a model inmate, and I'm like, he probably was, because he's probably running whatever prison he was in, so technically he had to get in no trouble.
He don't have to do nothing either.
Exactly. People bringing him steak and lobster while he's in jail, so. You know, there's an interesting movie where Vin Rain and Wesley Snipes caught Undisputed when they were in jail, and Vin Rain was like the heavyweight boxing champ in the world, and he ends up going to jail. And so Wesley Snipes, who was a former boxer who never got a chance to live up to his potential, they pretty much orchestrated a fight of the heavyweight champ in the world and this other guy in jail. And one of the guys who organized the fight was one of affiliated with the mob, with Lucky Luciano and Meyer Lansky. And it was interesting dialogue that even inside the fight, the mob folks came in and they had sports betting, like on a black market, because then they knew the fight was going out, so it went across the wire. And the warden of the jail said, I don't know anything that's happened. I'm going on vacation for 2 weeks. Whatever they paid him off, he was just gone so that he wouldn't have no responsibility. Anyway, jail probably runs a little different for those guys, is all I'm saying. But that was an interesting movie to say. How do you make everybody else go away when you want to do something? And it was, Columbo? Peter Falk played in that movie, and he was the guy who orchestrated it. They were like, no, his cellmate was one of those guys who just said pretty much, he was a younger guy, and he was like, nope, I just get paid to make sure that he has everything that he wants. But he didn't really do anything. Like, he didn't bother nobody. He was a nice enough guy, but they were still looking out for him because he was just kind of an old mob guy. So whoever was paying, so he's the one who orchestrated the fight. And nobody would mess with him, and nobody said anything. It's interesting. So, yeah, Gene Gotti's out. All right, now, the Coast Guard said a member of its hurricane response team has been removed after it appeared that he made a white power hand signal during a live broadcast during the hurricane. So the gesture was made on MSNBC Live with Ali Velshi, while Captain John Reed was given an update on the tropical storm Florence and the response efforts in Charleston, South Carolina. So as Reed was talking with Velshi, a Coast Guard member sitting at the table behind the captain is seen in the video quickly giving this sign that's associated with the alt-right and white supremacists. So the Coast Guard released a statement on Twitter Friday night saying that they were aware of the offensive gesture, and the Coast Guard person, men, who had not been named, was removed from response duties. Now, again, they didn't fire him. They just moved him someplace else.
Oh, boy.
I'm not really happy about this. Yeah, because they didn't sound like a good move. It sounded like they fired him, but they were like, no, we removed him. They didn't fire him. All right, now, the University of Maryland has come under fire for creating a safe space discussion group for white students to talk about race. So the group was called White Awake, which is clever, White Awake, and offered Caucasian students who wanted to learn on how to become an ally to minorities a place to share their feelings and thoughts. Now, it was immediately criticized after being advertised and has now been renamed to the Anti-Racism and Ally Group. I don't know what any of this stuff means, but White Awake is hilarious about our Stay Woke movement and all that other stuff. It was called White Awake.
Wow.
But there was a problem.
Uh-huh.
I know. That just didn't play off well. I don't think people paid any attention. But, you know, it was the white students that complained about that. It wasn't black students.
Uh-huh.
They were complaining that you're implying that the white students who don't go is not awake. So, you know, they had to complain. All right. Now, I know I didn't do this story last time, but Nike shares reached a record high a week after the Colin Kaepernick ad debuted. So the sporting goods giant, who is a member of the blue chip Dow Jones Index, finished at $83.47. I was waiting for it to go down because I was going to invest in Nike, but they had $83. It was their highest ever closing prices, prompting applause on Twitter from LeBron James, who put the tag pound Nike lifer, and he said, "We're on fire," is what he wrote, and with some fire emojis. Now, a new record came 10 days after Nike unveiled that Just Do It marketing blitz featuring Kaepernick. But they said that their stock value increased to 83.51 by midday last Friday.
Oh my goodness!
After all that, yeah, it's like at their company's high ever.
Wow!
So therefore, the people who were burning their Nikes were just doggone stupid. Shouldn't have did it. Don't really work.
That's right.
Yep. Now, Blackest star Jennifer Lewis made a statement at the Emmys on the red carpet on Monday, and she wore a Nike sweatshirt in solidarity with Colin Kaepernick. So Lewis said that she chose to wear the sportswear brand to the Emmys in support of Kaepernick's protest against police brutality and racial injustice. So you can see why Nike sales are still going up. But good looking out, Jennifer Lewis. All right, now, Regina King won leading actress in a limited series for the Netflix 7 Seconds at the Emmy Awards this week. So King has 2 previous Primetime Emmy Awards for Outstanding Supporting Actress in a limited series and or a movie, and that was for American Crime in 2015 and 16. So King is also an early favorite of Best Supporting Actress at the Golden Globes and the Academy Awards. So we'll have to see how that goes. And Thandie Newton won the Primetime Emmy for Outstanding Supporting Actress in the Drama Series. She says, now, get this. And I was going to say, you know, I used to like Thandie Newton. I was going to say used to. But I like Thandie Newton generally. But she's a little scarred. So here's her quote. She says, "Even believe in God, but I'm going to thank her tonight," is what he said, for winning her award. I don't know how I feel about that, so I had to ignore it because I do like like her.
Right.
But Thandie Newton, because, you know, Thandie Newton had sexual abuse stuff. She, when she was kind of underage, she started dating some director, you know, casting couch stuff. So she talked about that. She was the Me Too movement before they actually had one. So Thandie Newton has gone through a lot. So I can see shaking her faith. So I can't criticize that for her, that about her. But she has really gone through a lot. And even with the Me Too movement, she did say after she got blacklisted and blackballed for the way she was treated when she made the complaint about the casting couch stuff, nobody said anything to her. You know, nobody went to hire her. Nobody went to cast her. And then when the Me Too movement came out, they pretty much ignored Thandie Newton. Thandie was one of the first people that came out with that. And I remember Thandie Newton going through all of that stuff.
Now, didn't she just get an award the other night at the Emmys or something? Did she?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's the Emmy that she got. That's what she said.
Because I didn't know what
outstanding.
She was talking about, so now I get it.
Yeah, the outstanding supporting actress in a drama series. She's on HBO Westworld. And actually, I actually watch Westworld, so she does a great job. She's actually playing a robot hooker, but that's a whole nother story. She's a madam, but she Westworld is like this fantasy place that you go and whatever. It's a Wild West town, so people can go fantasy and go shoot up people, rob a bank or rob a wagon train and all this other stuff. So Westworld is just a fictitious place that really rich people pay to interact with robots. And so if you shoot and kill a robot, they'll be back next week. They just take them downstairs, fix them, and bring them back. So she's playing kind of an android sentinel robot. And so when they have shootouts, sometimes she died, sometimes she don't. And so if you get a chance to see Westworld is actually a really, really good series. You'll get addicted to it. And Bandy Newton does a good job.
When's it on? On what channel?
Oh, it's on HBO. But, again, you can watch. The repeats are out there because they haven't started a new season. So if you have HBO on demand, go check out Westworld. I don't know if you saw this, but, Amy hosts, I guess, Michael Che ended up handing out Emmys to black TV stars who had been snubbed over the decades in a skit during the award show. It was dubbed Reparation Emmys. You didn't see it?
No, I didn't see that.
It's out there on YouTube. So he went out and he began the skit joking how he wanted to right some wrongs. So he went to Marla Gibbs first. So Marla Gibbs, who starred as Florence Johnson on The Jeffersons, and he gave her her daytime Emmy. He was like, you needed one for the Jeffersons. And then he visited Jimmy Walker. And after that, he went into Kadeem Hardison, who was Dwayne Wayne on A Different World, gave him one. Yep. And then he went to John Witherspoon for his portrayal on The Wayans Brothers.
Yeah.
Gave him one.
Coordinate.
Got to coordinate. And he gave Jaleel White, who played Steve Urkel on Family Matters. He was like,
he never got
a daytime Emmy. So he gave him one. And Tresina Arnold, who was given her reparation Emmy for being the best sitcom actress thanks to her roles on Martin and Everybody Hates Chris. But it was a funny skit, but it just tells you a nice little story that there are some black folks who probably deserve some Emmys and didn't get them.
Big time. Big time.
Yep.
That was good. Lil White really needs a ton of awards.
He needed some kind of award for that. Yeah. He carried that show. And it was big ratings-wise. So, here's the gossip news. So, I usually do gossip, but there's a new book out. And it has the Onassis sisters. No, they're not Onassis. They're Bouviers. So Jackie Kennedy and Lee Radziwill were close friends, but their relationship evolved into a fierce competition over social status and men, according to a new book. So their complicated relationship played out when Lee was having an affair with JFK, and then JFK married Aristotle Onassis, the man that Lee fell in love with and had an affair with. She had an affair with him, fell in love with him, and Jackie Kennedy went and married him. That is mess. So desperate to make a name for herself, Lee, who is now 85, she said she resented being obscured by her older sister's prominence, becoming a socialite. And, she's a public relations executive for Giorgio Armani, an interior decorator designer, And also, she has a dubious title of princess from one of her husbands. So now she's talking about the fierce competition between her and her, between the two sisters in that book. So it's called The Fabulous Bouvier Sisters. It's the tragic and glamorous lives of Jackie and Lee by author Sam Kinisher and Nancy Schomburg. Isn't that mess? Because you know that's going to be a movie of the week on Lifetime.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people are going to fight to not, you can't say nothing bad about Jackie, but Jackie was being a hooker. Because the issue is that they talk about how JFK was cheating on her. So they had to make her out to be really wholesome, and I can't believe you did this. And now the story is that she slept with her sister's whatever, and had an affair with him, and then married them, and knowing her sister was in love with him.
Oh my gosh!
If that's what having money is all about,
sounds a little bit like Hamilton, just a little.
Is it like Hamilton? Yeah, somebody wanted to do a movie of the weekend about that. Yeah,
the Stylish Sisters. Sounds a little bit like that.
Say it again.
Just a little bit.
Okay.
Like Hamilton, the Stylish Sisters. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a little.
Yeah,
bit.
I know exactly. Mm-hmm. Now there's a Texas radio host who's 70. Who was sentenced to life in prison after he pled guilty to sexually abusing boys for decades and paying $45,000 to have the prosecutor killed. So Dan Steffen, who hosted a radio show out of his home in Plano, Texas, pled guilty to 8 charges related to child sex abuse and attempted capital murder on Thursday. So he got the fence. He got 70 years. Well, he's sentenced to life, and he's 70. So, yeah, I don't know about that. Yeah. All right. Now, Terry Crews shared a letter that the William Morris Endeavor agent wrote to him that apologized after the actor accused him of sexual assault. It says, "I know that you didn't ask for any of this. Again, I take responsibility for us being here right now. Together in this situation, I'm sorry for all of it," wrote Adam Vinette, who wrote the note that was sent in March. That was the fourth month after Crews came forward accusing him of sexually assaulting him at a party. The police filing a police report and a lawsuit is what he did. So the lawsuit was settled last week as a part of an agreement requiring Vinette to step down from his job at the William Morris agency, WME, and which Crews felt made him accountable for his actions. So he said he forgive him because he lost his job. Okay, mental note, you put your hands on me, I am going to break you off. Like, forget me saying that you, hey, you lose your job, I feel like we even. No, we even until until I can let these hands go. I'm just going to put that out there. That's when we're going to be even.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So days before Bill Cosby's scheduled sentencing, his wife demanded Monday that Pennsylvania's ethics board investigate the judge over what she said is bias. So Camille Cosby renewed allegations for the trial judge, Stephen O'Neill, that he had a grudge against a key witness who was the – because I never understood this, but this lawsuit makes perfect sense. Now, the key witness was former Montgomery County District Attorney Bruce Castor, who in 2016, in a pretrial hearing, O'Neill sent the case to trial, and he was convicted at the retrial this spring. But Camille Cosby says, "My husband was improperly prosecuted in a trial presided over by an unethical judge who seeks to compound his unethical behavior by sentencing Cosby, who is now 81, for a charge that the former DA and the judge's rival. So get this. Mr. Castor, the the former DA, Mr. Castor, determined that it was unwarranted and could never be prosecuted, is what Camille Cosby said in the statement. And the defense said that they alleged that O'Neill Castor feud stemmed from the late 1990s when they both pursued the same job as county prosecutor, and O'Neill dated a woman out of Castor's office. So when he testified, the judge discounted everything that he said. And since he testified that it benefited Cosby, he actually put his thumb on the scale to convict Cosby. Because that's why he let all those women in. That's why he did some other things that was pretty unethical, because I never understood it, because I read the transcripts that the former DA said, look, we knew she was lying. We knew that she was extorting money. He said that on the stand, and they discounted everything he said. It was like, so we still putting Cosby in jail. So Camille Cosby is trying to get him disbarred. Way to go, Camille Cosby. I just want to put that out there.
Really?
Yeah, she's going at him, and she should. Like I said, I read the same thing. What happened is that former DA, he's a rival of the judge, and he has it out for him. So although they didn't like Cosby, neither one liked Cosby, but he did some unethical things and let some things into that trial, which had nothing to do with it. Because what they were saying is that he drugged and sexually or molested some woman when he drugged her. He didn't rape anybody. So everybody's thinking that Cosby raped somebody because of the way the allegations were, but he was tried for drugging and molesting her. So in this case, the guy said, you know what, it didn't happen. Her story was shaky. So we got Cosby to drop the charges, or we got him to pay her money because we knew she was lying and we knew she was extorting him for money. But they felt that Cosby did something to somebody, so he needed to pay. So Cosby's attorney, who the DA knew, you know, sat there and said, okay, well, because Cosby at that time was like, take it to trial. He didn't care. But the DA knew that she was lying, and he found the extortion tapes. He had to actually go to Canada and go to her mother's house because she and her mother conspired to set Cosby up. So the DA went to her house in Canada and found the tapes that they were extorting, because his attorney said that there's a tape. And when the DA asked the woman who was pressing charges, they were like, there's no tape. So he had to get a warrant and actually get to her house. And they actually found the tapes of them trying to set Cosby up. And that's who he got convicted of drugging. Oh, I thought I did a long story about this when it first happened, because I know on one of the shows I talked about the testimony. I know everybody was kind of emotional about Cosby, and they were like, oh, he did it, all these women coming out. I'm like, I don't know what he did, but I know in this case they're railroading him. He is getting OJ'd in this piece. So when that former DA took the stand and he talked about all of that stuff, and Cosby's attorney cross-examined him, they were like, yes, we knew that she was unreliable. We knew she was lying. We knew that she was trying to extort him for money. So we said, well, what if we can just get you paid? And that's when they broke an agreement, and they said, this is going to be sealed. And that judge unsealed all of that stuff, where he said that he had pills and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, for anybody who wanted him, right? Cosby didn't do drugs, but he had them because it was a party drug of choice. And when women would come over, and some other woman testified, and he actually mentioned this, some white woman who, because it is kind of black and white in this one, but the white woman who he was dating, well, he's married to Camille, I didn't say he was a good guy, she was saying, yes, we always asked him, so he never drugged us, but he had them he had a prescription, so if you wanted some, he just had them in the cabinet. He didn't slip them in nobody's drink. He didn't do that. She goes, I dated him for years, and we didn't do that. So there was, like, women who actually testified Cosby didn't do that. So in her case, the one that he's convicted of, that was the only one that fell under the statute of limitations that they can pull back. So they used her, and then they used those sealed things to bias the people who were listening to the stories. So he definitely got railroaded. But so Camille Cosby is saying, yeah, you can sentence him, but we want a different judge to do it because you showed your bias. And the bias was from his feud with the former prosecutor when they were both trying to get the county prosecutor job. He just didn't like him.
That is so ridiculous.
I know. It is worse than that, right? Like, you would never have, none of us would ever have seen that part coming. But, again, I'm skeptical of any black person to go to court. So I'm like, you're going to get railroaded, buddy. That is all I can really tell you. It never, nothing's ever as it appears, but you're probably going to get railroaded. And Cosby got railroaded.
Man.
Now, I know. Now, a Harlem school teacher, I would play black or white, but you are not going to get this one. Nope, I'm going to play black or white because you're going to lose this one.
I was going to say you have no faith in me.
Okay, well, we're going to go black or white. Okay, so a Harlem high school teacher who bought 7 pounds of the date rape jug GHB in order to supplement his income by dealing to people in school, was he black or white? Now, he was facing charges of first-degree criminal possession of a controlled substance and possession with intent to sell. He's 51. He's at a Harlem high school. 7 pounds of a date rape jug.
And what happened to him?
No, he's in court. He's facing felony charges, first-degree criminal possession and of a controlled substance with possession and possession with intent.
7 pounds of the date rape drugs he's selling at a Harlem high school.
He's selling it. Yeah, he was doing that to supplement his income is what he said. That should give it away right there.
He's white.
Yeah. Here's a dead giveaway. First of all, nobody's going to get caught selling date rape drugs. And if you got 7 pounds on you, you got a really good distributor. Because that's crazy. And I wouldn't think that black folks, it might be in Harlem, but I bet you that's a white school in Harlem. Because I'm telling you right now, that can't be a big project that you're moving around black folks.
Yeah. You know,
I got this big date rape drug. Can you imagine if you're black selling that? They're going to throw you under a jail.
Oh, yeah, please.
This guy might not so much. Now, okay, so I'll give you another one while the music's going. So a child care worker was fired for performing mock surgery on children where they were telling them, we changed their sex. So they made the boys walk around carrying dolls as punishment, and they slapped kids for misbehaving. So there were 2 caregivers that was arrested. They faked mock surgeries and said, now you're a girl. And they gave the guys, the children dolls to play with because now you're a girl. These are child care workers. What'd you say?
Oh, my gosh. Are you serious?
So,
oh, my goodness.
Yep. So are those social workers black or white, Kathleen?
The social workers are white.
They had to be. They had to be. But you're right. They are white. So we just wanted to put that out there. If you think about it, you got too much time in your hands if you are making kids walk around with dolls because they were misbehaving. You like to humiliate people, so yeah. that seems like a way too much energy. When you put that much energy into making somebody behave, technically you are white. Black people like sit down somewhere. Like I don't want to throw that out there. Just go somewhere and sit down. Don't look at me. Go somewhere and sit down. Okay. Now, you know, before I get to our last story, I'll let you go. What stories did I miss? Because I know I missed a ton of them. But
I joined a little late, so I'm sure you talked about the Kavanaugh hearings, right? And the
nope, sure
woman.
Didn't.
Okay. Well, we know that the accuser of the nominated Supreme Court justice, or the person nominated to be the next justice on the United States Supreme Court, Brett Kavanaugh, has been accused of sexual assault and attempted rape by, and when I said, I'm not saying this as criminal charges, but that's what it's, you know, that's what they,
right, that's what their
charges would be, by an accuser who remembers him having attacked her while they were both in high school. Now, he went to an all-boys high school. She was at a party, and he came into the party and was with a couple of other guys or whatever, very drunk, and she says attacked her. And so she has made her story known. She sent it off to Dianne Feinstein, actually, in an anonymous letter, and then many people encouraged her to come forward, and she did. And now she's getting multiple, you know, death threats and so forth, had to put her family in hiding and everything. And she's slated to testify on Monday before the Senate, at hearings in front of the Senate. And her attorney is saying that she does not want to testify unless the FBI launches an investigation on this. Now, in order for the FBI to launch an investigation on this particular topic, they have to be invited to do so or told to do so by the White House, which the White House is not doing. So I don't know what happened today because I was at work until just a few short minutes ago, but as of this morning, it hadn't been determined because they were giving her until tomorrow, I think, to make a decision as to whether or not she's going to testify. And when I left this morning, she was still holding out, saying that unless the FBI does something, launches an investigation, she doesn't want to.
Yeah, now the breaking news is that her attorney did release a statement earlier today, and they said that she won't come on Monday, but she will come for Thursday. So they are in the middle of negotiating when she could possibly come, because they say that she wants to testify, but they want them to – she has a couple of demands. She wants Kavanaugh to go first, and she wants to – she thinks that they should be able to bring witnesses. Now, that should be pretty interesting, because there has been a couple of people, like one high school student who knows her and knows him, I think, and she said, yes, it was the buzz around school for a couple of weeks after that happened, and then she took down her post, and she said she didn't want to talk about it. They're saying subpoena the people who would know. Now, it's interesting that people are saying it's 35 years ago, so nobody remembers. Now, I want to tell this to you millennials. It seems like a long time if you are not 35, that 35 was a long time ago. But I have not been out of high school quite 35 years, but I can tell you this. I can name a lot of parties in high school. And even if I don't remember their faces, I can pretty much hone in. Because I have friends who do this all the time. Someone like low-key will say to me, hey, remember the time? And I go, oh, yeah, yep, now I remember. So anything traumatic, you're going to remember. Like I do remember the first party I went to in high school. It was in a neighborhood where, like, our high school, where our high school was, which is a public school, was near a Catholic school. So it's pretty well-off community. So some of the kids in the same household would probably go to public school, and the other ones were in the Catholic school. When you get kicked out of Catholic school as punishment for the wealthy folks, they send you to public school, whatever, to you. So I remember going to someone's house for a party, and there was nothing but alcohol in the house, and there were, like, pills on the table. And me and another friend, we were there. We were the only black folks there, and I was like, it's time to go. Now, if you want to say, oh, that was so long ago, how would you remember? And how would I remember whose house it was? Well, that child's parents were known alcoholics. They were wealthy as heck, but they were known alcoholics. So if you want to question me on what I remember from that long ago, you have bumped your head. You remember traumatic experiences. So I can't imagine for her not to remember the details, because 35 years really ain't that long for trauma.
That's right.
You know what? 40 years ain't that long. You'll know people
long.
Who go, remember that time you took my money in the fifth grade? If it was trauma, you're going to remember your elementary school bully.
You sure are.
So, yeah. So I always hate when I hear people say stuff like that. It's like, oh, it's so long ago, and how would you remember? Like, I think it was Stephen Colbert, you know, when he does his clip, Grassley, and I don't know how old Grassley is, probably about 85. He says, I don't remember what I was doing 35 years ago. And Stephen Colbert goes, you were a senator 35 years ago. Like, how would you not remember? It's hilarious. But it shows how stupid that is.
Yeah.
So whenever I hear people make stupid statements, it's like, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so
I remember.
It's going to be interesting.
Remember.
She's going to sink them.
I know. And, okay, so there's so many things that makes it obvious that she's going to sink them. It's like, first of all, she's the one saying, listen, have the FBI launch an investigation then.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to. I want to talk to them. And who wants to talk? Nobody wants to talk to the feds if they're lying.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody.
Yeah.
So,
what's interesting that Lawrence O'Donnell brought this point up, but as people try to dismiss her and say maybe she was just mistaken or she's mistaken him for somebody else, as the Republicans play that game, he said it's going to be interesting that they have to call her doctor,
uh-huh.
Right? Cause So as they're talking to her, they're establishing her credentials while they're trying to say that she's not credible. So it should be interesting to watch. Like, you can't just blow her off as some girl who worked at a fast food joint and you can't believe her. She's just trying to come up on him. As they refer to her, Dr. So-and-so, Dr. Ford, is it true? You're already establishing credibility. At the same time, you're going to try to take it away from her, so it should be interesting.
Uh-huh.
They're not going to win either way.
Wow.
That's not going to work.
Okay.
So yeah, I didn't talk about that, but again, it's because it's so much in the news, but that's going to be hokey, whatever is going on with them. And you were saying. You want to talk about that, and it was something else. Was it something else?
Well, I was saying about them that, you know, she wants to come. Oh, I know what I want to say. She wants to come forward and tell her story, but she does not want it to be Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus.
Oh, you can't help that. Yeah.
You know, but the thing that has been quite interesting and very appropriate is the fact that Anita Hill has been on almost every news channel in the last couple of days talking about when she was presenting her testimony in the Clarence Thomas confirmation hearing. And so I've seen her so much in the last couple of days. And I think it was even this morning she was on Good Morning America and she's just been going. She's just been playing the talk show network. The talk show circuit. So I'm very happy to see her back. You could still see how much this whole thing, this has weighed on her, but mm-hmm. you know, she's Anita Hill, man. We all remember how steady, profound, and incredible she was during those hearings. And she's no less so now. You know, they're asking her some very crazy, tricky kind of questions. And she answers them with such brilliance. And I mean, that's who she is anyway. But it was so refreshing to watch her again, really. So anyway, they're bringing up the comparisons between that and this. And the thing that is always so baffling to me is why everybody wants to try and look at this thing as though anybody thought that he was innocent at that time. Everybody knew that that man had done exactly what she said he did. Everybody knew he did. And now there's no opportunity to get him off the high court. So all these other people, wealthy as all get out, and so many of them lost, left jobs and all this other kind of stuff. But the president of the United States and the guy on the Supreme Court, oh, well, it doesn't apply to us.
Right. Right. And I think that's going to be the biggest tell, because all of that bull that they put her under, they're never going to do this with Dr. Ford. Because they're going to try. So the story is the GOP is trying to, you know, bring in a female to talk with him, which is a bad giveaway. It's kind of like in the OJ case where, Johnny Cochran came on. So they moved in Darden on the prosecutor side because they needed somebody black at the bench. They didn't give a rat's that anybody black was there first, but they need to give an impression.
Uh-huh.
So, yes.
Wow.
So this is going to be interesting because it's going to be hard for them to beat her up. And if her story is really good, They're gonna have problems.
Uh huh.
And they did say, Grassley said they wanted her written statement on Friday for her to testify Monday, so they would have had all weekend to chop it apart, to stalk her, to do whatever. And like I said, that she's being pursued, so technically, they want that information so that they can actually using against her. So interesting enough.
Uh-huh.
It is crazy.
It is crazy.
It is crazy. Yep.
It is crazy. But I was very grateful to see her, Anita Hill, back on the scene and doing incredibly well. So that was one thing. And I think I can't think of the other thing that was coming up for me, but I do want to mention that, Dr. Who's the fitness guy, the brother who is always on Dr. Oz? Dr. Ian Smith, right? I believe.
Yep.
He wrote a book, and it's about the secret society at Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's, he's in talks for it becoming a movie and all that other kind of stuff. But, he was on the radio this evening talking about his book. So it sounds very interesting. It's a novel, for his first novel. It's really pretty interesting. And I know you talked about Michelle Obama's upcoming book last week.
Oh, yeah, Becoming.
So.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Her book, Becoming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I know there was one other thing I know I want to talk about, but I can't remember what it is right now.
All right. Well, on that note, I have another news story. So I just need to bring this up just in case you had to contemplate this or wanted this to happen. But Heinz, the ketchup company Heinz, they're set to bring out a new – They're set to bring out a new mayo chup hybrid. So what it is the blend of ketchup and mayonnaise. It's mayo chup, ketchup and mayonnaise.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, Yeah, that's why I had to end on that, because that doesn't sound good at all. And at no point, they're saying people in the UK voted overwhelmingly in favor of that in a Twitter poll, and now they're polling. And they found out that people wanted mayo and ketchup. Isn't that Russian dressing, by the way? Just my thought. I'm sorry. They've already done that.
Thank you very much.
Without the pickle. That's all. Sounds disgusting. So on that note, we are going to check out. We will see you again next week. Tune into Esprinet News. I am out. I just thought I'd say that. Kathleen?
Hey, Ron.
All right. I was going to say, I was waiting for you to give your shout-outs. Want to throw some out there? Oh, you know what? And everybody,
yes,
be safe. South Carolina, North Carolina,
yes,
everybody who had hurricane, you know, have family and friends, be careful of the flooding down,
yes,
in that area. So everybody be safe.
That was the other story. We can talk about that next week. The two women that died in a police cruiser being transported to a mental health institution. And the cops drove down a street that was known to flood even without, horrible storm. And they the two officers got out the car, and the two women in the car perished.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can talk about that a little bit next.
Okay. Yep. I definitely can pull that one. I forgot all about that story, and that just happened. So,
yeah,
we'll talk about that.
All right.
So, we will talk about that later. We'll see you again next week. For me and the commiss, we're out. All right, commiss, we will see you again
next
week.
All right. See you again.
Right.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks for being. All right, guys. All right, Kathleen.
That was
my Freudian slip of Kai, because Kai was listening earlier and cut out. You need to join in on the show.
Oh, hi, Kai.
Hey, Kai. All right. See you guys next week.